Our reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What we want to do in this lesson is to look first of all at these sins that Paul is describing, and then we want to offer a few observations about this list of vices, as it's sometimes called, that Paul gives to us here. Paul begins this section with a question. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God oftentimes in the Bible refers to the church, which is the kingdom of God. But oftentimes it can refer to the glorified state or condition of that church, which is in heaven. And so the idea here is that these people are not saved people and they're not going to go to heaven. They will lose their souls in hell. And so Paul asks, do you not know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, there are two things about the context here that I want to notice. He's been talking about the fact that these Corinthians rushed off to court to go before unbelievers, before unsaved people, to have those unchristian people settle their differences. So they were suing each other in courts of law. They were going to law against each other before unbelievers, before the unrighteous. So one thing that connects what Paul is saying here to what we just looked at in the previous lesson is the fact that it's ridiculous for these Christians to go to non-Christians for judgment about church problems, because he says these unrighteous people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's a second reason, and that is that this is a warning to Christian people. It's a warning to these Corinthians and all Christians not to act like people in the world. Remember that these Corinthians were involved in these lawsuits against each other. And those lawsuits were over, as Paul says, the smallest matters. So they were arguing and disagreeing over little things, but they were turning those minor matters into huge issues. So it wasn't so much what they were disagreeing over that was the problem. It was how they were handling that disagreement. It was how they were dealing with it. And too often times in the church, this is the case. There is a disagreement over a small thing, but then pride and envy and even bitterness and hatred enter into the situation, and a small matter becomes a huge dividing issue. Now let's look at the list that Paul gives of these sins that keep people out of heaven. The first one is fornicators. The sin of fornication keeps people out of heaven. You'll notice that there are four terms in this passage that Paul uses that describes different aspects of or different types of sexual sin. The first one is the sin of fornication. Remember that he's just dealt with this problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because there was a man in the church at Corinth who was guilty of the sin of fornication. And here he's warning that this sin will keep people out of heaven. So this is a very direct and a very appropriate warning that he gives to these people. Don't be deceived. Fornication will keep you out of heaven. The second sin that he mentions is idolatry. He says that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you will notice, as you read your Old Testament, and as you read your New Testament, and also as you study history in Bible dictionaries about these cities and places where Paul and these apostles went, that idolatry and fornication oftentimes went hand in hand. When you had idolatry in a city or in a culture, you oftentimes had very low standards of sexual morality. And so prostitution and fornication were very common in places where there was idolatry. And that's because when people worship something else besides God, their moral standards are naturally lowered. Now, this is what Paul discusses in Romans chapter 1, where he talks about the people who turned from God and worshiped idols. And the next thing that you find him talking about is how that they dishonored their bodies. So when you have idolatry, fornication is going to be encouraged. This has been the case for thousands of years, and it's still true today. So idolaters are not going to heaven. Adulterers are not going to heaven. The sin of adultery is a sin that keeps people out of heaven and sends people to hell. It's amazing how many people today claim to be Christians or talk about people that they believe are Christians, and they talk about those individuals or they talk about themselves as if they're saved, and yet those people are in adultery. It's amazing how many people are not hearing sermons against this sin. The Bible says that this sin keeps people out of heaven. The next sin that Paul lists, or the next kind of sinner that Paul mentions, is the category of being effeminate and then abusers of themselves with mankind. Now, these two expressions refer to basically the same sin, but from different aspects or different angles. The sin of being effeminate here and of being abusers of themselves with mankind is the sin of homosexuality. Let's begin with the second one here, where the King James Version uses the expression abusers of themselves with mankind. The New King James Version simply translates that one word in the original with the word sodomites. That word in the original comes from two words. The first word is the word for man or male. The second word is the word for bed. And so the meaning literally is a man that goes to bed with or lies with a man. So this is a homosexual. This is a sodomite. It is used here and in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, and there is absolutely no question about the meaning of this word. When people say that the Bible does not condemn homosexuality, they either do not know what the Bible says or they do not believe what the Bible says, because it is absolutely clear in this passage that sodomites will not go to heaven. The word effeminate is a very specific word. This word is sometimes used in the New Testament of being soft or soft to the touch. And the idea or the definition here is in the sense of what is called a catamite, a male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness. This word is described as and defined as men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. And many would say that this word, effeminate, refers to the passive partner in that homosexual relationship. So we have two words here that definitely condemn that particular perversion that is becoming more and more prominent in our culture. In verse 10, Paul says that thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of the Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not steal. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 4, verse 28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. The next word is the word covetous. A covetous man is one who desires and has a longing obsession for gaining something that belongs to somebody else. And the Bible says that a covetous man is an idolater because his heart is set on those material things. Ephesians 5, verse 5. Then he mentions the word drunkards. Drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Drinking alcohol is so prominent in our society and in many cultures of the world that there are people who claim to be Christians who turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to what the Bible says about drinking and about drunkenness. The Bible says that a drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And yet, how many times do preachers stand up at funerals and try to preach a man who died as a drunkard into heaven? The Bible says that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he mentions the word revilers. A reviler is an evil speaker. A reviler is a man who is constantly talking bad about other people. And then he uses the word extortioners, and this refers to taking things from other people by force, by deception, by cheating, by lying, and other such means. None of these people, he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the good thing about the Corinthians is what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, let's make a few observations about this passage. First of all, these sins do keep people from heaven and send people to hell. Now, this is very much like the list that is found in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, where the apostle said, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are oftentimes called vice lists in the New Testament of sins that keep people out of heaven. Number two, these sins send souls to hell, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. Remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, that Paul said the reason that he told these people to withdraw from the fornicator in their church was so that his soul would be saved. And this shows that that man was going to be lost unless he repented. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul goes on to say in this book, Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Number three, it is right to say that people who do these things are lost, in spite of those who cry, You're not supposed to judge. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. God said this. God said that the people guilty of these sins will not go to heaven. God said that these people are going to hell. And so we simply recognize that judgment, and in that sense, we judge or we discern that those people are lost. It is not only the right of Christian people to say that those who are guilty of these sins are lost, it is the responsibility and obligation of Christians to tell the truth about these sins. Number four, people can be forgiven of these sins because these Corinthians were. Verse 11 says, And such were some of you. That means that some of these Christians in the church at Corinth had been fornicators, they had been idolaters, they had been adulterers, they had been homosexuals, they had been thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. But what happened? The Bible says that they were forgiven. How? It happened in Acts 18, verse 8. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So this passage shows that no individual act of sin is so bad that it can't be forgiven. These Corinthian Christians had been guilty of these sins, but when they were baptized, as the Bible says in Acts 22, 16, their sins were washed away. But number five, we need to remember that repentance is necessary to forgiveness. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of life. To repent means to turn from sin and to turn to God. So these Corinthians had turned away from these sins, and they were no longer committing these sins. The exception, of course, was that man in 1 Corinthians 5 who was guilty of fornication, but that's why Paul said to withdraw from that man. But as far as the rest of them were concerned, the Bible says that they had turned from these sins. So in other words, these Corinthians didn't say, Well, I've been baptized, I'm a saved person, so I can continue to be a fornicator or an adulterer or a thief or a drunkard. Paul says that's what you were, but that is not who you are now in Christ Jesus.